هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا، الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا، ورسول الله معلمنا.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه وصفيه وحافظ سره ومبلغ رسالاته وعلى آله وصحبه. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Let's go to the topic we were discussing in the last lecture. And if you remember my question, it was that the society in which we are living, is it the society which for which Allah created, is this society following the values and the path for which Allah created this universe, this world, and He created us, or no, it is a different society? And the other question was that whether this society has been planned by someone or a group of people to take this shape it has taken nowadays, or no, it was just an accident, and accidentally our society has become like this. So what I told you was that the religious people during the Industrial Revolution in Europe, that the religious people, they committed a very great mistake. They stood in front of science. They stood in opposition to science. And this is something which was not based in religion. I mean, religion didn't tell them to do so. But because of their ignorance, because of their laziness, because of their unlogical approach, they committed this mistake. And the price of this mistake, all the people who follow any religion in this world are paying, because the people who control this world, the people who have the wealth, who have the energy, who control the wealth, who control the energies of this world, they are not religious people. They are not related to religion. So the religious people, may they be Muslims or Christians or any other religions, they are paying the price. One more thing which I must say to all the brothers and sisters who are hearing this lecture, who are hearing my words, it's a humble request. If you hear this lecture, I sit in front of you and I talk, and you hear to me, you hear to my words, for half an hour or all this series of lectures, but after finishing you don't decide to take a single practical step to work for changing of this society, then you know, I know, that these lectures are of no use. They are useless. When we sit, when we discuss a topic, what does it mean? We want to do something. We want to take a practical step. But if we don't take a practical step, then all this time is being wasted. So before listening to this, just make a decision in your minds that if you find my words useful, if you gain something from these lectures, then decide that you have to take some practical step. Then we can unite, and then we can work for a change. Then we can understand why we are in this world, why we have been sent to this world. It was not an accident. Allah had something in mind when He was creating us. What is that? And what is the life we are leading? What are the values we are following? We have to think and then we have to take practical steps. Without practice, nothing is of any use. Okay, let's come back to our topic. And we continue from exactly the place where we left. I was discussing the Renaissance and I said that the people who came forward and started and took the control of the society in their hands were not religious people. And the religious people at that time, the church, the common people, the common public, they started moving away from the church slowly because of their own behavior, the behavior of the people of church, because they stood against science. Their approach was not good. And what the people saw was that science was benefiting their lives a lot. And having a very great impact on their lives, improving their standards of life, giving them cures for their diseases, and everything else you can imagine. But what was religion doing to them? Only asking for money? When plague hit England, what did science do, medical science? What did medical science do, and what did the church do? Just compare it. The medical science was providing them with medicines, curing them. But what was the church doing? Just praying on the dead and just burying them, just performing some rituals after the people died. So people began thinking that these people, and you know, Shaitan was there, Iblis was there, and he found a very good opportunity to do what he wanted. And he took and he made great use of this situation which had come into being, come into existence. He told the people, he raised the question through his friends that if these people are related to God, then why don't they know the cure of this disease? They claim that there is someone called Allah, there is someone called God who knows everything, then why that Allah or that God is not guiding them so that they can tell you the ways and you can improve your life conditions? Why they are not telling you? The answer is, they are liars and there is no such thing as God. And like I said in the previous lecture, ultimately, what Shaitan revealed to his friends and his friends told, spread this thought in the society, was that it is not God who created man, but it is man who created God because of his ignorance. And a clever group of people, they created God and they brought this concept to the society. Let's move ahead. Now what happened was, the society started to undergo a very big and a very quick change with a very great speed. Machines entered the society. The speed of production was increased, it multiplied and it multiplied. For example, if a cobbler used to make one pair of shoes in one day, when the machine replaced the man, what happened? Previously, it was only one pair of shoes per day, and now, for example, it became 500, 1,000 pairs of shoes per day. Now, the people who were controlling this change, the people who owned these industries, these machines, they felt need for something. Number one, they must be in control of the energy which runs the machines. They must get hold of it, they must get control of it. And from there a new war began, which continues till today. War to control the energies, war to control oil. Because the more energy you have got at your disposal, the more powerful you are. You can look around you, you can look in this world, the wars which are happening, the conflicts which are happening, they are related because many people, they want to control energies so that their industries, they continue to produce, they continue running, they don't stop. This was their first need. The second need, they needed a trained labor to run these machines, to maintain these machines, a trained labor. Third need, previously the production was according to the needs of the society, but now what? Now your machine is producing several times more than the needs of the society. Now who is going to buy it? Question, who is going to buy it? So they were in need of some people who can plan, I shall say tricks, who can trick the common people so that they feel that they need something which they don't need. For example, suppose two pairs of shoes are enough for me for summer. I won't buy the third one. And if I give a touch of religion, what religion tells us? Kana'at. The thing which is fulfilling your need, then don't ask for more, don't run after more. Instead, think about the other humans who don't have even this. But what this new system told us, how this new system guides us, you have to buy that shoe, you have to buy so many big markets, shopping centers, attractive. Through the media, they tell us that you have to buy, you have to buy. If you don't buy this pair of glasses, you don't have a personality. People won't look towards you. If you want to have a very attractive, very dashing personality, you must buy our glasses. You must buy this suiting of this brand. You must buy these shoes. You must buy the new model of this car, because the old model, people will say he doesn't have money. Your personality will go down. People won't look towards you. This was their third need. In order to keep their industries running, they were compelled to trick me and you so that we buy their products, so their industries, they keep running. Let me give you an example. A very great scholar, Shaheed Murtaza Mutahari, he quoted a story, a very simple story, you might have heard it, of a fisherman and a genie. Once upon a time, a fisherman used to go out in the sea and used to catch fish, and when he came back, he used to sell the fish and earn his living. One day when he threw the net in the sea and he just pulled it back on his boat, along with the fish, he saw there was a small bottle lying inside. He opened the bottle and suddenly a genie appeared. He said, "Thank you very much," to the fisherman. "It is thousands and thousands of years that I was imprisoned in this bottle, and you are the one who saved me, who set me free. So I'll do anything you like. Pay attention to what I'm saying. The genie said to the fisherman, I'll do anything you'll tell me to do. The fisherman became very happy. You'll do anything I wish? Yes, give me any order and I'll obey. I'll do it for you. But there is one problem, the genie said to the fisherman. There's one problem. He said, what? The genie said that I cannot sit idle. I must be doing work all the time. So when you give me a command, by the time I come back, you have to prepare yourself to give me another command. You have to think about another command, about another work for me. You have to tell me. Because I can't sit idle. And if you don't tell me, you don't have any work for me to do, I will eat you, simply. I'll work for you. I'll bring all the wealth of the world to you, in your hands. I'll build great buildings for you. I'll bring every luxury for you. But only one condition. I cannot sit idle. If I sit idle and you don't have anything for me to do, I'll eat you. The fisherman said, okay, it's all right. So he said, okay, tell me the first command. What shall I do for you? The fisherman said, okay, build a very great castle for me. Very beautiful, so that no one else in the world has like that. The genie said, okay, I'm going. He went away. After a few minutes, he came back. He said, the castle is ready. The fisherman was very happy. But his happiness suddenly disappeared because the genie said, okay, tell me the second thing. If you don't tell me, I'm going to eat you. So he became afraid. He started thinking something else. Something else came to his mind. He said, okay, go do this for me. The genie disappeared. Now the fisherman's happiness, it just disappeared. Because all the time the genie was not there, he was thinking what I have to tell him to do so that he doesn't eat me, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the relationship between an industrialist and his industry, his machines. What does his industry tell him? It tells him that if you keep me running, if my productions, you keep it selling, I'll bring all the wealth to your feet. I'll bring all the luxury for you. You'll have an ideal life. People will wish that if they had a life like you. But there is only one problem. If I stop, I'll eat you. If I stop running, if you can't keep me running, I'll eat you. Now the industrialist, when we see him, he attracts us a lot. What a great life he has got. What a collection of cars he has got. Different houses in different cities. He goes to spend his vacations in that country. He wears this brand of watches. He has got such a beautiful golden mobile. And think about other such things. He has got everything. We are watching this. But what is the industrialist himself, what is he thinking? All the time he is thinking that what my industry is producing, I must sell it. I must sell it. I must trick these people. They don't need the production of my factory, my industry. But I have to trick them. I have to make them feel. I have to plan. I have to hire people who can sit and plan to make these common people think that they need this thing. This is their requirement. Something which is actually not their requirement. So now, if you look around you, if you look at these markets, these shopping centers, how many of these shops contain things which you actually need, without which you cannot live. And how many of these contain things which are only luxury, which are only to attract other people, which are only to show off in front of other people, something which your religion does not like. Your religion tells you that if you want to compete, compete for the hereafter. If you want to look at people who are better than you, then look towards the people who are more honest than you, who are more pious than you, who worship Allah more than you, who fear Allah more than you. And if you want to look people who are at a lower level than you are, then look at the people who are poorer than you, who don't have as much money as you have, so that you feel pity for them, so that you can help them. But what we are doing, the opposite thing. When we want to look above us, to which people do we look? The people who have got more money than us, who are more rich than us, who have got more wealth than us. And when we want to think about a religion, what do we say? Okay, I am not this much sinful. For example, I say prayers 2 times, but look at those people, that brother, he is not praying any of the obligatory prayers. So I am better than him. Just totally opposite, 180 degrees opposite to what Allah wanted from us. This is the life we are leading. So these people who were controlling this change and who became the owners of these industries, and these people who just cut off themselves from Allah, from religion, from God, from religious teachings, who were just cut off, they planned a new society. They planned a new education system. For their need of energy, they planned wars. They went to other countries. They fought them. They killed them so that they can control their energies and they can keep their industries running. Second, they needed trained labor. For that trained labor, they planned a new education system, which inshallah I'll discuss in the coming lecture. They created a new education system. They changed the importance of different subjects according to their needs, according to the needs of their industry, their machines. They changed the importance. Before this, for example, philosophy was considered mother of all other subjects, all other sciences. But they pushed it down, they made it unimportant, because it had nothing to do with their machines, running their machines. Instead, I'll tell you inshallah in the coming lecture, philosophy was dangerous for them, because it makes man think about himself. From where does he come? Where, in which place he is now, and where he has to go. This was religion, this was philosophy, which make man think. And these people, they don't want man to think. They just want him to work. In their eyes, only oil is not energy. Sun is not only a source of energy. Even humans, the poor humans, they are also a source of energy. They consider them a source of energy and they use them. just like a machine is working, a human is working. They take so much work from him and they give him a very less pay. And they have been accumulating wealth in their hands, in their bank accounts, millions and billions they have at their disposal. While on the other hand, a great, great number of humanity, they are dying. They are poor. They don't have to eat. They don't have pure water to drink. They don't have small quantities of food to eat. And they are dying. And what does a man who has become a part of this system, like me, like you, he goes, he gets a job, he's from the morning till the evening, he's working, then he's doing overtime so that he can earn more. 6 days a week he's working like an animal. For what? For the seventh day, to spend it, to give it back to the same multinational companies for one of which he was working. Now you see the circle? How the money, all the money is getting accumulated in a few hands. There are a few number of people, or in other words, you know, you can say these multinational companies. Every country you go, every part of the world you go, you'll see the same brands present there. You land on some airport, you come out of the aeroplane, and the same brands you see, they are present there to suck your money out, which you have earned, for which you have been working like an animal. They'll suck it out from you, from your pocket. Because they've trained you, because they've guided you through this media, and you love luxury. You love these brands. They produce something for $1 and they sell it for $20. And you buy it because it has become a status symbol. You think that if I don't wear this, I'll lose my personality. People won't look towards me. Now just think, was this the purpose for running after these things? Running after money, forgetting the problems of fellow humans, letting them die without food, without education, without clothes to wear? Was this the idea why Allah created this universe? He created our world. Was this the idea? No, this was not the idea. How shall we know it? From where we can get this information? From the Quran. Okay, what we are doing with the Quran? Just getting sawab out of it? Reading it like parrots and understanding nothing from it? This is what we are doing with the Quran. This is what we are doing with our prayers. It has just become a habit. What the Quran says about prayers, about the five time prayers? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. This prayer, it stops you from bad deeds. It stops you from sins, from committing indecent acts. But is our prayer doing this to us? No. Because it is just a habit we are performing again and again. And we don't know for what. Yes, for one thing. Because we have been told that there is an hereafter, there is a paradise, and there is a hell. And we want to save ourselves from hell. Just by repeating some habits. By reciting, by reading the Quran like parrots. Because parrots don't understand. It is humans who understand. But when a human, he degrades himself, he lets himself fall to a very low level, then he starts thinking about his religion, that it's just a tradition. Why you are doing this? Because I saw my father doing this. Because I saw my grandfather doing this. Because I saw my mother doing this. Because I saw my grandmother doing this. And nothing else. No logic. No scientific approach about religion. We were just born religious, so we are religious. If we were not born in a religious house, in a religious family, we won't even had bothered to think about from where we came, where we are, and where we are going. Inshallah, I hope that you brothers and sisters will think on these things, and maybe a group of people, they start taking some practical steps, group of common people, okay, who think they are common, they are public, they are not religious scholars. But religion is not meant only for religious scholars. Each and every one of us has got a duty, and he has to perform it, and he will be asked when he meets his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.